Oh, is that the Serenity, a quick flex?
What a flex.
The Serena, greatest athlete. Oh, shit.
So subtle, yeah?
Come on.
No, that's hard. I love
here.
That.
She's here, you know, always. My goat. All right, let's go. Hello guys, welcome to a brand new episode of Black Spin Global Podcast, aka the best podcast, aka the best tennis podcast out here. I am your host Lucy, and we have Eugene and we have Tamani Carroll from The Guardian. Hello guys, how is everyone?
I'm good, but yeah, again, Tamani, thank you so much for joining us, man. Like, great pleasure having you on as usual.
Thanks for having me, as usual.
Thank you. That was such a quick, nice and smooth intro, just letting people know that we are here and we are ready.
So no one knows about the technical issues that we had, but we don't need to talk about that.
Yeah, we won't talk about that. Don't worry, it's the best part ever.
What technical issues?
See,
what
I love that. That's why you're
on fame. What are you talking about, mate? That's what you're talking about. Never heard of that.
Oh, guys, but yeah, man, let's get into it without further ado. So first and foremost, actually, happy birthday, Lucy. We won't say how old you are, but it was...
Don't say it. It doesn't matter. I'm here
alive. It was a milestone birthday. So, we know you're in France currently enjoying and working. So, yeah, happy birthday. We hope you had a great time.
Thank you very much. Thank you. I was a bit ill, but it is what it is. You know, it doesn't matter. This weekend, I'm turning up. I'm still good. In France. So, I'm going to use this weekend to get waved.
Good.
I'm getting waved.
But, yeah, I think we... The rundown I put down, and this is really because of, well, you mentioned or you brought this up, Lucy, the Alexander Zverev, Olga Sharapova, I hope I'm saying her name right, but yeah, the domestic abuse allegations, which, like, obviously it's a legal issue as well, so it's very kind of, you know, it's a sketchy area to kind of talk about, but like you said, Lucy, I think it's something we should address, even though obviously this is a Black Spin Global podcast. We focus on black tennis players. But yeah, this is an issue that, you know, affects or can affect anybody at any time. So, I mean, I don't know if you want to lead, Lucy, like, and kind of just kind of share your first or initial thoughts.
Yeah, I mean, well, first of all, for those who don't know the story, and this is just a trigger warning for anyone as well, as this will be covering domestic violence. Alex's ex-girlfriend shared about being abused physically, mentally, all type of sorts in a two-part interview. And boy, reading those articles was so hard. That second article, I actually couldn't even finish it because it was just, to me, it was just too much. But I don't know, man. Like, I feel like it's just too, like, there's the way, I don't understand, but you know when people are like, yeah, you know, it might not be true, she might be the fame or blah, 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 like she might be lying. Those two articles, there's no one who has a functioning brain who can understand things, read those two articles and say to me, I still think she's lying. Because the proof is there, like in 4K. Like literally everything that she says was backed up. And, you know, and it's not like she even admitted to certain things, for example, her being a little bit more physical with him. But I think that was when he was trying to attack her and stuff like that. So she wasn't like, she was being completely truthful. And I don't know, in terms of everything, like in general, I just feel like the ATP should have done something in terms of the second this has actually been like brought up, they should have made a statement or should have done something. Like, I think recently they just mentioned the whole allegation statement thing. What was it about? About how they're going to be...
Yeah, so they said they're going to do, like, a safeguarding review with an independent, like, I don't know, like, panel or whatever that's going to give them, like, recommendations. But...
Yeah. And I feel like the only reason why they even eventually made that statement is because they were aware of that second article coming out.
Yeah.
Because I think on that second article as well, I think the journalist did mention that, I think they asked ATP for a comment, and they basically like just, no, there was nothing to be said. So I generally feel like if they really did care about this type of thing, it would be done ages ago. Because first of all, Zverev is not the only player to be accused of any of these type of stuff. So there's that other player, I forgot his name, and I'm glad I forgot his name because I don't even want to bring up any of his name, but he's the one.
Georgian,
Nicolas Dazilas, really.
That's it. Sorry. He's even won a tournament not too long ago as well. So it's like these type of things are here. So I don't know. The way, to me, I feel like the ATP is actually even protecting him. And I really feel for her. I really feel like, you know, she was even explaining the article how she felt like people closer to her were not believing her also. But yeah, like this whole thing is just bad. And I think he is being too protected.
Yeah.
As well. From his team to his media to the ATP to everyone else. Whereas she can't even find a job. Like she can't even do anything. And apparently the German media as well is trying to like, you know, not talk about the issue. Like he's good, basically.
I think that is a general kind of feeling, and obviously to many you can kind of elaborate, but from my perspective, I do think that, yeah, basically Zverev is being pretty much protected by, like, yeah, 100%. Like just the media in general, in terms of definitely the German media, because like he is their golden boy, literally just won Olympic gold for them. And even before that, like, yeah, it wasn't really something that was really spoken about, even though it was quite well known, like in terms of these allegations. I think it's important as well to mention, like, it's Ben Rothenberg. He's the journalist that wrote the two articles. And like, yeah, I think he's got like a, and again, maybe too many, you can kind of, yeah, clarify, but I mean, I don't think certain players anyway, have a weird relationship with Ben, like in terms of, you know, they don't really like his line of questioning sometimes, or maybe they think like he, yeah, maybe delves a bit too deep, like into their personal lives, rather than just like focused on tennis, like, which is obviously what their main priority is. But Lucy, I'm with you 100%. Like I do think it's something that, yeah, like the tennis kind of authorities, the ATP in this case, they do need to take more seriously. And obviously, like you mentioned as well, like with this review committee that they've like put together, like suddenly, obviously the timing was because they were protecting themselves, like because they knew this story 100%. Was about to drop. But I mean, and we should say as well, like on Zverev's part, he has like categorically denied like all the allegations. So like this is what I'm saying. It's going to turn into like a legal thing, like, because I think I read that he's literally taking, or he's getting his lawyers to basically sue, I think it's Slate, that's the website.
So he said that, so he's taken out like a preliminary injunction, which like stops the other parties from, I believe, lawyers, I think, but that stops them from, you know, releasing other material and you know, further articles, I guess. But, you know, so we're talking about this before that. So I asked him about, so he was in his press conference just like quite less than an hour ago. He was talking about that, and he basically said that the court said that she was lying, that the allegations were wrong. So I asked him about it, and he kept on saying that. And, you know, although his statement says that he's going to take legal action, but we'll see. You know,
he was just waffling. Like he was, when I was reading all of the, like the question that you guys were asking, and I was reading his answers, like he was just waffling, because she can't even really take legal actions at the moment either, because so many of the attacks happen in so many different places. So places like Asia, places like Russia and those type of stuff, and her being a German as well. Like that's the thing, is that even if she wants to take legal action at the moment, it's actually extremely hard for her, whether it's resources, whether it's being complication with the government or the law, like and countries and stuff.
Specific countries. You know, I hear that. Tamini, just quickly before we move on, like, what's your view, like, on the ATP? Like, do you think they should have been doing more, like, in this case, like, in terms of, yeah, just being on top of it from like more early on, basically?
I think it just showed how, especially like the initial reaction when they were just like, we're waiting for the legal systems to do their part or whatever. When, like, particularly in the States, like, most of the, like, all of the major sporting governing bodies have been forced to, but you know, by the criticism they've received, they've been forced to get proper domestic violence policy and, you know, to actually be proactive and to investigate. You know, there have been situations where, you know, victims haven't gone to the police, but they've, you know, put stuff on social media and they've had to, you know, the governing bodies have had to investigate, and those governing bodies are, you know, they get criticized all the time for their responses, but it's that's still miles ahead of the ATP.
Yeah.
And I mean, the whole thing's just, I mean, it's horrible. And also for me, like I'm gonna write about this, but with the second piece, the fact that the ATP said that the fact that she said that she wasn't contacted by the ATP or anything like that, you know, I think with like domestic violence, you know, when there are allegations, you have to make sure that, you know, the alleged victim has support and can reach out to people, you know, when they're saying these things, and, you know, these horrible articles, that they can reach out to people. And also, I mean, who knows, like, what happens behind closed doors with any other, you know, athletes in other sports. So then people need to know, like, that they have resources to, you know, to reach out to and to speak, you know, to speak to and to get out of any situation that anyone might find them in. And there's just none for tennis right now. So,
yeah.
And still after 7 months. So, yeah.
Just quickly, like, this is probably a yes or no, like, answer, like, for both of you. Do you think Zoe should be suspended, like, until this is all cleared up?
1,000%.
Okay. Tamani, what about
or
you?
At least something like him not being like in central courts, or him not having like, he's too many privileges. At least lower his privileges or do something.
Interesting. Tamani?
I mean, I don't know. I think it, like with tennis, like if this is about like football, 100%, because he would be like a salaried employer basically.
Yeah.
And, I mean, so in that case, yes. In this case, it's you know, I understand like it's tough because they're like private contractors and I'm sure like it could get messy, like he could sue, but just certainly like the governing body should be doing something to make sure that to investigate these things, to make sure that everyone involved in these situations are safe, and that just hasn't happened still. And it's just a very depressing story.
No, definitely. Yeah, very definitely. Unfortunate. But no, I think it was important, like, for us to kind of, just, I guess, mention it and kind of give our thoughts. Fair play, Lucy, for bringing that up. But yeah, guys, as you know, like, we were off, I want to say it was 2 weeks, really, wasn't it? Because we missed...
Three weeks,
yeah. Because we missed, the week before last now. But yeah, since we've been away... Gael Monfils, he's returned to form, which is great to see. So he was playing, it was the Toronto Masters where he got a good couple of wins. So he beat John Millman, and I think that was a second round win because he got a first round bye. And then he also beat Francis Tiafoe as well, and that was en route to the quarterfinals. And there was a nice like exchange as well, like at the end of that Tiafoe match. Tiafoe like just saying, don't give up anytime soon. Like, I've looked up to you,
facts,
like, since I was a kid. And, like, yeah, like, the game pretty much needs you, which is facts. And then, yeah, I think he lost to John Isner in that quarterfinal match. What did you guys make of, Monfils kind of returning to form?
I think it was going to happen at some point, and it makes sense that it's now that crowds are returning and there's a bit more of an atmosphere in most places. It's just, I mean, it's been tough, obviously, like for him, you know, with given how well he was playing before the pandemic. So, I mean, slowly you're seeing him like returning to a form and just, I mean, barely seeing anything. We don't see much of behind the scenes, but he seems to be enjoying himself on tour more. And
married now as well.
Marriage life.
But yeah, so I mean, yeah, it's good. And, you know, on the TFL thing, I think it's now that, I mean, there's still not many, but see, now that there are a few, like, black players and players of colour, it's just cool to see, like, to see Monfils and to see, like, Songa just get their dues from people who, you know, clearly they're very, like, I mean, when you go to a tennis tournament, you'll see how popular they are.
Yeah.
And certainly, like, black players and even other players of colour who don't have other people, like Kyrgios, for example, who don't really have other people to look up to, like, they're clearly so, like, influential, and they've been really important. And I think that's probably not been, like, shown enough, or, like, hasn't been, I mean, people don't really get it, you know, just how it is to just to see these black players, and black players who are, like, charismatic, and, you know, I don't know, it's just they're more important than people think.
No, 100%. Well said. Just lastly on Monfils as well. For me, he played his best tennis in Cincinnati, because that's where he beat it was Dusan Lajovic and then Alex Diminor, and then he went out to Andre Rublev in that controversial match, which I was really disappointed, because I actually like Rublev, but yeah, that whole kind of like spat wasn't nice. But I like how they kind of like resolved it before like getting started again.
Well, Monfils the one who tried to resolve.
Lucy took issue with.
I did, because I was just like, he's not worth it. But it showed to me how much Monfils is in a, I think mentally, he's in a better space. I think he's in a space where he's like, I need to put my mental like up there in order for me to play well, because. Like Tamani just said, like, you know, he's happy on tour and everything. So I think those type of things affect him, because, you know, he was breaking down a lot. Like, and remember, I was saying a lot, I feel like it was more of a mental stuff, which like he was playing so well right before COVID and stuff. So like I said to you off air, I felt like he just did it because he was like, fam, I don't want any problems. I'm not bothered. I don't want no drama. I just want to move on. But I wish he didn't do that. But it's okay.
Tamani, did you think anything, or did you take issue with Monfils' actions like during that match?
You mean like him trying to resolve it?
Yes.
I get what Lucy means. Like in general, when you see I don't know, when a player's in the right and they try and like pacify instead of being petty, there's always room for a bit of pettiness. I get what she's saying,
Fair enough. Tiafo now. So he was a lucky loser in Toronto, but obviously got in through being a lucky loser, but he put that to good use. So he beat Yoshihito Nishioka, and got a good win against Denis Shapovalov as well, and that was en route to the third round, where he lost to Monfils, which we just spoke about. Again with TFO, so he carried on like that good form in Cincinnati. So he picked up a nice straight sets win against Hugo Humbert, which I thought was a really good match. I watched that from start to finish and was really impressed with TFO's performance. And then he lost in three sets to Diego Schwartzman. That was a really tight, like closely contested match. And for me, again, like we speak about TFO quite a lot on the pod, like this year, like he has definitely improved, like mentally as well, like as well as like obviously just the solid ground strokes that he does have on both sides. But yeah, I think mentally he does look like a different player. And I want to, obviously we spoke about Zach as well, like him ending his relationship with Zach Evenden. Like this was in the works, like whilst Zach was working with him as well. So like I don't want to like just completely give all the credit to Wayne Ferreira. Obviously, we all know Wayne Ferreira is a former top five player, but I think, Zach Evenden should get a lot of credit too, like for the form we're kind of starting to see TFO, how well TFO is playing right now. Do you guys have anything like you want to add on TFO's performances these past couple of weeks?
Yeah, no, I definitely agree. Like, I feel like compared to a lot of other players, he's having a very, 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 a better season than last year, definitely. Like you said, like even his mood is just different. Like you can see that his focus is hyped up. Like he wants to like, you know, do better. And yeah, he's been playing super well. Like just a tournament right now in, was it Chicago, if I'm correct?
Winston-Salem.
Yeah.
Yeah, like his performance throughout there has been crazy. Yeah, solid. Like the way he's playing is just like, it's just too good. And I feel like now when he plays, it's like he actually has a plan now. Like he knows what he's doing next. Whereas I felt like before with him, it's like, okay, I can do this, I can do that. He's kind of like hesitant. Mm. But now I feel like when he plays, it's like, okay, yeah, I'm making this move, I'm making that move. Like he just moves so smoothly now compared to like, you know, before on court. And I feel like, you know, he's just going to keep on improving. I think he's going to go run pretty deep for the US Open. Like, I'm really looking forward to that as well.
It's Tamani, what about you? What are your thoughts on TFO?
Yeah, I should say, like, I've missed the... I mean, as I told you, Eugene, recently, I hadn't been watching tennis for a couple of weeks. But I did watch him against Murray, and, like, I agree with Lucy. Just, like, he was really just... He was very, like, zoned in and just knew exactly what he wanted to do on the court, which, you know, as Lucy said, just hasn't always been the case. And, like, there's definitely an added discipline. And, I mean, he's still waiting for, like, a big run recently. You know, he's picked off, you know, he's had a couple of nice top 10 wins recently. You know, he's picking up players here and there and mostly losing to, you know, good players. So, but, like, yeah, just, I think, you know, looking at some of the matches he is putting together, you know, at some point, I guess I'm sure he's like hoping and expecting and anticipating that at some point it's going to come together in one tournament.
No, definitely. Before we move on to the women, Felix Auger-Aliassime. So it was, he put a disappointing early exit in Toronto behind him. He lost to Dusan Lajovic, and that was in round two because he got a bye into the second round. But yeah, that's a straight sets defeat to Lajovic. But yeah, like I said, he put that behind him and reached the quarterfinals in Cincinnati. So en route to the quarterfinals, he beat Martin Fucsovics, Karen Khachanov and Matteo Berrettini. All really like solid performances. I watched literally every single one of those matches and I was really impressed with the Khachanov win. Like, because yeah, that was, he had to really dig deep in that and he just really stuck in there and just got that win. With the Berrettini one, again, it was impressive, but Berrettini wasn't 100% like fit. But again, still, that's a top 10 win for Felix there. But then he lost to Stefanos Tsitsipas, who I think ended up losing in the semi-final, I think. And that was a three set match. But again, like, for the first set against Tsitsipas, he didn't really look in it. Like, he was outplayed pretty much. But then in the second set, really stuck in there. I think it went to a tie break. And he kind of won. I don't want to say it was like, it kind of was against the grain, like in terms of Tsitsipas had all the momentum. But yeah, to Felix's credit, he's just stuck in there and ended up taking that second set, but then lost the third. But again, like good strides, like good kind of signs for Felix as well, like this year. Like I think he's also had a pretty solid year considering, I think, the Wimbledon result with beating Zverev. That was his first win against Zverev as well. So, like, again, he's kind of building on that and obviously beating Berrettini as well. It's another top 10 win. So, again, like, really nice signs, I think, for Felix. Don't know if you guys have anything else to add.
I just feel like it's a bit, like, up and down and stuff.
Yeah.
I think this year is definitely, I feel like this, especially this year compared to even last year, I feel like this year especially has been a bit like when he's up, he'll go up and then go down and then go back up. And I don't even know how he actually even does it, to be honest, because at the same time, I feel like some players, they can be like all the way to up to semifinals or finals and then that's it. They're just like, nah, like I'm losing and losing and keep on losing. Whereas he still tries to, you know. But I just hope that moving forward, especially for next year as well, or like even, you know, the next couple of little tournaments that we have left, that he just finish with a bang at least.
Yeah, no, I agree with that. I hear that. And I think he'll probably have a good run at the US Open. I think he got to the fourth round last year. So looking at his draw, I think that's possible again, like another like deep run. in New York. On to the ladies now. So we had Coco Gauff. So she reached the quarterfinals in Montreal. And it was a great win for her. She picked up her first win against Anastasia Sevastova, who she always seems to get drawn against. And then, yeah, she had a kind of weird run to the quarterfinals. So she, her next match was against Anastasia Potapova, and she was leading that 5-love before Potapova retired injured. And then she was due to play Joanna Konta next. But Joanna Konta also pulled out injured. So she got a walkover into the, yeah, into that quarterfinal match against Camilla Giorgi. And she ended up losing that in straight sets. But then obviously Camilla Giorgi ended up winning the tournament. And some of the stuff like I see on Twitter sometimes, like around Coco Gauff, like it, I do get annoyed. But I don't, obviously, you know me, I don't engage. But that people do like to say, oh, like she gets like these really easy draws or like lucky draws. And I hate when I see that because it's like she can't help that. Like it's literally what she's been dealt and she's just literally going through dealing with it. But yeah, what did you guys make of Coco Gauff's run to the quarterfinals, which is a WTA 1000 event as well. So that's a pretty big, big deal.
Yeah, I mean,
as you said, it was a weird like set of circumstances with the withdrawal and the retirement. But I think that win over Sevastova was obviously big for her. I think she also handled us like the next week when she played Osaka, like that she handled, you know, she won a set and she, even though Osaka's still, you know, trying to find her feet, like she pushed her well. And you know, and back to Montreal, like against Giorgi, it's funny. It's one of those things where, I mean, it's a, she could have won the second set. Like she had her chances, but I mean, I think she like fought back in the second set. But like, you know, when you look and see how Giorgi handled the rest of the week, it looks much even better. Like it looks better in hindsight. Yeah. But she, like the thing about Gauff is that, you know, she's not really, there haven't been many bad losses. I mean, you could say, I mean, aside from like the tough losses to Sevastova, which I mean, Sevastova's a really good player anyway, and clearly a tough, and a former top 20 player, and also like just really solid and tough matchup. But yeah, but she's just bringing a good level each week, and so when people talk about draws, like when many players can't take advantage, but when you know, when there's a draw to be moved into, she'll normally move into it, and when there's tough players, she'll at least like it will normally be at least close. So she's just doing well. She's doing her thing. She's like ninth in the race now, which is crazy. Incredible. Like
that's insane.
If there's a like a WTA finals, like she's a candidate for being there, which is mad.
She's not even 18 yet.
Yeah.
Absolute madness. Also, I want to touch on Sloane Stephens. So she picked up a good win against Diana Nestremska. And I think that was a free set match. And again, like obviously Stephens, she's played herself into form this year. Like she had a good run at the French Open and some good wins before that as well, like on the clay. So it's just nice to see her kind of playing well again. And she had a close free setter against Sabalenka. And went down. I think she was 5. I don't know if she was serving for the match, but she had a substantial lead in the third set. But yeah, Sabalenka came back.
That match was. I'm just remembering it because I remember watching it. I was just like, Stevens could have bagged that, man.
No, definitely. She had a disappointing defeat in Cincinnati. So she lost in the first round to Caroline Garcia, who I think was a qualifier as well. And that just kind of shows where like Garcia's kind of rankings gone recently. But I think that was a free set match again. So yeah, Stevens is playing some good tennis. We'll talk more about her in a bit, obviously with the US Open draw. Naomi Osaka, so she returned to action in Cincinnati. So she had a first round bye and then obviously she met Coco Gauff. In that second round match, and that was a free set win for Osaka. First time they've gone to free sets And I think this was their third meeting. And again, it was a tough match because the conditions weren't great in terms of like wind and stuff. But I thought they both played like decent tennis, like at times. And yeah, it's just always nice to see them both like competing against each other. Like, obviously, it's I don't really care who wins, to be honest. But like, yeah, I just like seeing them both playing like high level tennis, like which I thought was a pretty good showing on their part. And then Osaka ended up losing. Sorry about that, guys. Osaka ended up losing to Jill Teichmann, who ended up, I think she was the eventual runner up. And that was a 3-set defeat for Osaka in the third round. Just on Osaka, like obviously a lot has been kind of spoken about around like the interview or the question that she was asked, which we spoke about on the previous pod, Lucy. And to me, we spoke about like off air, like when we were together last week. But yeah, like how do you guys feel about Osaka, like kind of going into the US Open, like in terms of like where her mindset's at? Like, you're not worried? Are you happy? Like, she's basically, I'm personally speaking, I'm glad she's back. And like, it's just good to see her back on the court.
Yeah. I mean, I think she had her pre-tournament press conference today, and she seemed to be in a better place. Like, it's obviously tough just because she's not had many matches, and although she's been able to win without playing much, like with all the extra like things that's going on, it's just obviously just not been ideal preparation for her tennis. But she did seem to be like in a better place today, like right now. And so yeah, I think like, I mean, obviously at some point things will click into place with her again. And I mean, it definitely could be, I think, in New York, a familiar place where she, I guess I'm going a bit forward, but I definitely think she's, at some point she'll be fine. And it could be in, you know, she grew in New York where she grew up, and she knows it well. And I don't know.
Defending champ as well.
Exactly. Yeah. She has two-time champ. She has great memories there. So I think, you know, there's nothing really, you know, things have settled in terms of all the, you know, the discussions and speculation. Things have settled down a bit more now, and she's speaking with press, and the interactions have been fine. You know, she was today. There were no tears. So I think, yeah, eventually she's going to be fine.
No, fantastic. Briefly as well, Heather Watson, I think it's important to mention. So she came through qualifying in Cincinnati. So she beat Alexandra Sasnovich in the first round, and then lost to the eventual champ Ash Barty in round two. And that was a pretty good match against Ash Barty. It was a straight sets win, but I thought Heather gave a good account of herself. So it's good to see her playing some decent tennis as well.
Yeah, I think that was Barty's toughest match, actually, of the tournament.
Good shout. Yeah, I agree. I agree with that. Even the final. Hayley Baptiste as well, briefly we'll mention. So she returned to action. She played the WTA 125 event in Chicago, and she got a good win against Danka Kovinic, who's obviously top 100. I think Baptiste is just literally top two. Well, yeah, she's just inside the top 200 at the moment. But then she lost to the eventual champ Clara Towson in the second round. So again, great to see Baptiste back on tour. Moving on to this week now. So we did mention Winston-Salem. So Mikayima, he's having a breakthrough. Literally, as we record this on a Friday, he's due to play his semi-final match, his first ATP Tour level semi-final, after getting wins against Stefano Travaglia. He's Italian, isn't he, Travaglia? Albert Ramos-Vinolas and Max Purcell. And then he beat Francis Tiafoe in that third round match. I say last night, but yeah, that was on Thursday night for us. And that was a close three setter. But yeah, he plays Carlos Alcaraz in the semis. So good luck to him. And I think it's just really great to see him like kind of making really good strides again, because he's had a solid year.
Yeah, 100%.
what do you make of his game, Tumani?
I mean, I think he's like just slowly, he's becoming more comfortable, you know, being on the front foot against players and also just exposing opponents' weaknesses. And yeah, as you said, like he's been pretty like consistent. Like I think he's made like three consecutive quarterfinals.
Exactly. Yeah.
And the progress is just like, yeah, it's definitely like this year, he's like, I'm looking at his results now and like, the majority of his week, tournament weeks, he's winning a couple matches here, a couple matches there, and just he's clearly improving, and yeah. I think I think now that he's back in the top 100, I think because he fell out of it a couple of times this year. Like,
where do you think his potential is? Like, because I'd say easily top 50.
Yeah, I think he can definitely reach the top 50, and yeah, I mean. When if you look at someone like Cameron Norrie, who's like improved a lot, like there's a lot for being like consistent week to week and being able to kind of to expose opponents' weaknesses, and I think he's developing well, and he's doing well.
No, well said. And lastly, so Francois Abanda, the Canadian, I want to say shout out. So she won her first WTA main draw match since 2018, I want to say, and that was in Chicago this week, and that was a WTA 250 event in Chicago. So she beat again Danka Kovanec, and that was a straight sets win for Abanda. So hopefully she can build on that. I know she struggled with injuries for a lot of her. I think she's only 23 or 24. She's very young, but yeah, she's had some really bad injuries. But nice to see her playing on the main draw, playing on the main tour, and getting a win there. Lastly, Chicago. So Venus Williams also played that event. So she played Shea Su Wei in the first round.
I was so annoyed that draw.
It was so mad, like, because that's like a local tennis club in Chicago, but it was literally packed out for that Venus Williams match.
Yeah, fam. As soon as she announced she was playing there, people were ready. Boom, 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 bought them tickets.
It was nice to see. And like, she was really grateful as well. Like, she after the match, I think she posted something on her Instagram saying, oh, it's like one of the best crowds she's ever played in front of. And it was a lot of black people in that crowd. So again, I'm mentioning
shout out.
That.
Shout out.
I think she said it's the best.
So thanks for clarifying. Thanks for clarifying, somebody.
But yes, I mean, I read that as I've never played in front of this many black people.
No,
that's exactly. I want more of it.
That's exactly how I read it as well. Literally. So no, fair play. And again, kind of off topic, but I messaged Lucy. I forgot the match. I think I was watching Paolini. How was she playing? But yeah, Pani lost that match anyway. But I was just like, kind of, I couldn't stop looking at the ball kids, because they were, I'm not getting at them, but like, I mean, it wasn't Wimbledon standard or, this kind of standard we're used to in terms of standing upright. And like, every now and again, you can hear the umpire, like basically telling the ball kids like what to do. And I just thought, this is so Chicago. Like, this is...
Eugene sent me the picture of the ball kids just leaning at the back, I was like, no, this is such an uncle bad thing. He's like, I get it's hot, yeah, but allow leaning. Like, what are you doing? Like, these ball kids are, like, rude.
But no,
shout out to the ball kids.
I was
going to
say,
shout
out to Chi-Town, man.
Be on job a little bit. Like, it's hot, but it is what it is.
And yeah, guys, now let's move on to the US Open. So the draw's been made.
The MAGA Open.
The draw's been made. So there's no Serena, which we kind of... I mean, I wasn't surprised, but I was a little bit, shocked. Obviously, the hamstring injury that she picked up at Wimbledon, that's still hampering her. No Venus as well. So she literally pulled out the same or announced her withdrawal the same day as Serena. And obviously, Rafa and Roger Federer, they were both... will not be playing as well, so their seasons are done essentially. Just quickly before we go into the draws, like, I know you, obviously Lucy, you're a huge Roger Federer fan. To me, I know you have a lot of respect for him as well. Do you guys think this is it? Like, do you think we'll see Roger next year, or do you think that's pretty much him done?
I think we'll see him next year.
Okay.
I think after that, he might make this the decision to maybe be like, depending how things are going.
Interesting.
For him to need another surgery.
Yeah.
And it's not like he had such a great run. Like he, I mean, Wimbledon, he went up to what? The
quarters.
I went up to the quarters and that was only just that. He got bageled. Like, do you get what I mean? Like, it's just to me, I just feel like a lot when people come up to me, always tell me, yeah, Serena retires, the moment they say that to me, I'm like, nah, actually, Roger is the one that's going to be gone out of here from.
Yeah, no, I agree with that.
Obviously, I definitely feel like with him, because, you know, like if you look at all his matches since, you look at his injuries and everything, and then unfortunately his age also has, you know, pair to do with it. And plus these players, on top of that, once they know they're playing against these top players, they're getting, like, they're flogging them. Like, yeah. It's just, nah. So I think it's either going to be it now, or it's going to be a thing where next year is going to come back, he's going to play a little, and it's going to be like, you know what, F it. I'll be really surprised if I see him playing still, like, in 2023, to be honest.
Interesting. Tamani, what about you?
Yeah, I think I'm sure he'll try, but like it's definitely just a really tough it's a really tough situation. I think he also knows, like, he's 40, so it's not that tough. He's already won everything in the world, but like, exactly. it's tough because it's now his third surgery on that knee in like just like 19 months, which is just not good. So I think he'll try, and if he can't play, I definitely think that when he comes back, it will be about, you know, he's not gonna play if it's gonna affect his life long past, term. You know,
yeah.
Tennis. Always said that as well. He always said that. Yeah. I don't want to risk it. I think it's because, you know, it's a bit like Kobe, how he wanted to play like crazy and then now dedicate the rest of his life with spending it with his kids and his family. Yeah. And I think Federer is the same thing. I think he knows how much his wife and his family had to sacrifice for his career. So he knows that once he's done, he wants to be able to be moving around. And he's always said, he's like, listen, I'm not doing anything that's going to affect me long term. If I have to stop, then I'll stop. But I think mentally, he's hungry. I think he wants to win at least one more thing, whether it's a slam or just something small, and then be done.
Yeah. Fair play. And really, it depends on how the surgery goes and how his knee recovers. Which, I mean, I don't know. I'm happy to admit that I have no idea really how that will go, and then we'll see, right?
No, obviously, good luck and all the best to Roger Federer, the legend. But yeah, let's get into these draws, guys. So let's start with the women first. So we've got Hayley Baptiste, who's a wild card, well deserved. She starts against Shuai Zhang of China. Which I think is a good draw. I think that's a decent opportunity there for Baptiste. The main one that stood out, and I think just in general, not just from a black spin global perspective, but Madison Keys, Sloane Stephens. So that's literally a repeat of the 2017 final. I don't know how that how that managed to come out, because obviously they're both I think that it's Keys isn't seeded, is she?
They're both unseeded,
So that's clearly why. But incredible. So, Stevens leads the head-to-head 4-2 at the moment.
And incredible, Eugene?
We're not going there, Lucy. Listen, my battery's about to die, so we can't go there. But the winner plays, or potentially could play, Coco Gauff in the second round, which again is like conspiracy.
Fam, I am telling you.
So you've got the Coco
US
Gauff.
Open said no blacks. They said no blacks.
I swear we had this last year as well.
We have this every single year. This is why I call it the MAGA Open. We have this every single year. Every year they want to get the niggas out first, which doesn't make sense because they're all Americans as well, bro. It's like, come on.
Oh, no shine.
I'm saying nothing.
I was gonna say, notice how Tamani just silent. But no, it's all good. Coco Gauff, the 21st seed, incredible. So she starts against Magdalenette. I think, again, good draw for Coco there. Alicia Parks, again, another wild card, well deserved. She starts against the qualifier. As we record this, I don't think qualifiers have been placed yet. So we don't know who Parks plays.
No, yeah. I think today is the last... Today or tomorrow is the last day?
Yeah, I think today is the last day of qualifying matches. Yeah. So, yeah, very excited to see Parks, and hopefully she gets a win. Naomi Osaka is the third seed. Obviously defending champion, two-time champ, we all know. She starts against Mary Bushkova. That's a tough opening round, I think. Like, Bushkova's a very good player, but I am expecting Osaka to come through in that, but I wouldn't be surprised if that's like a three-set match, because I do rate Bushkova.
Plus, I think these girls now play their best tennis when they're playing against Osaka now. Like, 100%. They're in it. They're not playing nice no more.
Jasmine Paolini, the Italian, Ghanaian sister, she takes on Yaroslava Shevdova. I think she's from, is that Ukrainian? I'm not sure.
Kazakhstan.
Yeah. Oh, Kazakhstan, okay. Interesting. I think, again, that's a potential win there for Paolini, so good luck to her. And lastly, Heather Watson. That's a tough one. She's got Cara Juvan. And I think that's going to be a tricky one for Watson, but hopefully she can kind of carry on that form from Cincinnati. She just looks very happy as well. I think her mum's travelling with her as well, and I think that obviously also helps, like having mum around. So, yeah, like shouts out. Any kind of roundups that stand out to you guys, like even ones you haven't mentioned here, like in terms of the women's draw?
I mean, just after going back to Keys and Stevens, honestly, it's kind of... It's a bit crazy to see them draw each other in the first round while being unseeded. Like, just four years ago, they were like, seemed to be the next, you know, they seem to have like established themselves as the kind of next big things in the US tennis. So, you know, it's not gone in the way probably either of them expected, but
yeah,
you know, I mean, Stephen seems to be like, I mean, as you said, like, she seems like she's on the cusp of something eventually. Like, she's extremely fit now and, not now, but, like, she looks in the shape of her life, really. And she's getting bit results here and there and just needs to string something together. And, I mean, Keys just, it's been a tough, like, since the pandemic for Keys, really.
Yeah. She had COVID, didn't she, at the start of the year?
Yeah, she had COVID. That's why
Australia.
So we all think Stevens will win that then.
I'd say so. Yeah, I think so. I want to see, it would be cool to see Goff Stevens, because we got like that was close to happening at a tournament. We talked like when I was on the podcast, we were talking about it, that it was close to happening at a tournament in the clay season, I think.
The green clay, I forgot.
Yeah,
I always forget the place, but yeah, I'm pretty sure it was a green clay tournament.
Yeah, Charleston, maybe.
I think it was Charleston,
We're Sloane as well. Did you see her her Instagram video of her mum?
Oh yeah, with the Voli.
She's been through the wars, and
When you weigh up what she's been through, like in her private life. And then she said, "You got to come on court and play tennis." Like, it just really just puts things into perspective. Like, which is just mad. Like, these players have a lot going on, like away from the court. Some are like better than others at like kind of dealing with it and kind of like just like coping, I guess. So no, massive shout out to Steven.
One more thing about Stevens, since we're on that. I like how she's just evolved as you know, like in now that she's older, she's must be 28. She's definitely taken on being like kind of the you know, looking out for people, giving them encouragement. She's always like in people's mentions on Instagram, you know, just encouraging them, especially the black players like with Osaka. And I don't know,
she has a great image.
She's part of the man, I'm blanking.
Is it the player council?
Yes, the player council. Yeah. And she's just like she's taken that role on really nicely, which I don't know. I like how that's,
I completely agree. She's just good vibes. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. That's pretty much it. Yeah.
And we've said it before on the pod that, like, you know, from whether it's between the players, even outside of players, like, she's definitely known how to use her platform correctly and her
from early to
you know, just be out there and just be good vibes. And yeah, man, I'm looking forward to seeing her play. I think she's gonna do really well. I feel like sometimes in slams she's very much focused, especially US Open slams, she's very much focused as well. But yeah, looking forward to it. Even though, you know, it's unfortunate they put in all the blacks together, but it's okay.
Agenda.
We got to see another woman match I'm actually looking forward to, not black spin, is Bad Vibes versus Bad Vibes.
Who's that?
And Georgie.
Oh, who, sorry?
Halep and Georgie.
Oh, really? Okay. Halep is Bad Vibes?
I still haven't forgiven her for that Wimbledon final, let's just
say. Oh, wow.
That is why she's my bad. It's a personal thing. No, she's a great player, 100%. Like, I'm not going to take that, but that this is personal. But I'm looking forward to that
That's a first round match. Wow. Okay.
Yeah.
Georgie's bang on form at the moment as well.
Exactly. I am really looking forward to those two first rounds.
There was another one that stood out for me, actually. I can't remember who it was, though. Anyway, listen.
There was quite a few good first rounds from the women's side.
Yeah.
That Monday is going to be looking good. I'm looking forward to it.
The men. So before we close out, so Mikel Emma, hopefully he'll be an ATP Tour winner by this time. So he takes on Jensen Brooksby, who's like the American kid. Everyone's been going. I say kid. He's 21, I think, or is he 20? Mm. But yeah, he's young. Killing it on the Challenger Tour, and yeah. I think that's a good matchup for Emma. I think he'll pull through probably four sets, possibly five, but I'm expecting Emma to win. Gael Monfils, he's the 17th seed, so he takes on Federico Coria, the Argentine. TFO, he has a qualifier in the first round. So does Ojo Aliassime, who I believe, I can't remember his seeding. I want to say
12th.
That's a good seed. I like that. Joe Wilfred Tsonga, he's back. We haven't seen him in a while. He takes on the 8th seed, Casper Ruud. That's tough. But again, I just love seeing Tsonga play, so looking forward to that. And a massive shout out to Christopher Eubank. So he's made it through to the main draw. So he's come through qualifying. Won his three matches in qualies, and yeah, he'll be in the main draw. Hasn't been placed yet as we record this, but yeah, some nice matchups there, I think. From a black spin global perspective, obviously we know Novak is the top seed looking to complete the Grand Slam. I want to say Medvedev is the second seed, isn't he?
I think he's the third. Is it or the second?
I want to say second.
Second.
So as we always do, like with these Grand Slam preview pods, who are we picking? Who wants to go first? Because I'm not.
Our guest, you go first.
I was going to say ladies first, Lucy, but okay. Just throw some money under the bus.
Yep.
I'm so boring. I'm going to say Djokovic he's going to complete his...
The Grand Slam.
His Grand Slam, yeah. I mean, okay, I'll give you a non-Djokovic pick.
Exactly. What about women's,
like, I'm really, this is why I said I'm boring, I'm really leaning to Barty winning.
Interesting. Would that be the first time she's won two slams in a year?
Because
she's only got the two at the moment, hasn't she?
Yeah.
Of course, yeah. No,
I could see Osaka just like
turn on again.
Yeah, I'd say like my non-Barty pick would be Kerber, just because she's been playing really well. She's made like three consecutive like semi-finals.
Yeah, she won a
title. Well, not consecutive, but she won a title and then she yeah, reached the Cincy semi-finals and Wimbledon semi-finals, obviously. So yeah, she, I think she could do something big here.
Interesting.
Especially if the courts are fast. But I think that's going to be a... I really want to see Kerber versus Osaka in the fourth round, because I think that could be a huge match, and the winner could...
that match will be...
No, I hear that. Lucy, what about you? Who your pick? So, you've gone basically top seeds, both men and women.
Yeah, yeah. Sorry.
Sit with friends. That is cool, Lucy.
Unfortunately, men's. I don't want that energy to be, you know, but you guys know who, and I hope it doesn't happen.
Wow.
I've explained already. It's not that I don't hate him, you know, it's just that, you know, his numbers are increasing and I need my queen to have the highest of highest.
I don't have time.
So, but beside him, who I would love for him to like win is Medvedev. I don't know if he'll be, I don't know, like, he's had a good season, but sometimes when he gets to these, the closer he gets to the finals, the crazier he just gets. He might lose focus, he might be irritated or something, but...
Kick a camera.
he's definitely, like, you know. And then for women's, just like, to be fair, I'm just like Tamani, like, I think... with women's, I'm a bit stuck, I'm not going to lie to you.
Oh, really? Okay.
Because even at the beginning, I was like Barty, but for some reason, I feel like Barty is there's something's gonna happen.
Interesting.
I don't know. I feel like she might, you know. So Barty or Osaka or just like a random, just like French Open, someone just random. Yeah.
Interesting. Okay, I'm gonna be like both of you to go with Novak for the men. To be honest, I think it'd be pretty cool to see. To be honest, like.
No.
Doing the whole Grand Slam thing. And I think he's hungry because obviously he wants to put right that wrong from last year, the whole suspension thing. Well, not suspension. I forgot the actual term, but yeah. Default. And then for the women, yeah, I've struggled. Like, I want to say Osaka, but then obviously form, like, hasn't been great. But I don't think... I'm going to stick with Osaka. Like, yeah, I just think... Okay. Yeah, I just think she's going to basically just...
Because she has a really good draw as well.
Yeah, like, I mean, to be honest, she can take on Parks in the second round, and that would be a nice matchup for Parks, like a nice experience for Parks. So if she beats her, I think it's a qualified Parks as in the first round, she could face Osaka in the second round. So that'd be a nice matchup to see. I'm gonna stick with Osaka. Obviously, I understand why you would both pick Barty, like... Yeah, she's 50-50. Been playing well.
I'm 50-50.
Well, yeah. But yeah, I'm going to stick with Osaka and like be on brand for the podcast. No, but it's,
are you calling us coons?
No one's saying it. I'm not saying that. I'm not saying that, Lucy, please. But yeah, guys, that wraps up the show. So we thank you for listening and we hope you enjoy all the tennis. Tamani, absolute pleasure having you on.
Thank you for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
Obviously,
we know it's a pleasure.
I wish we could have spoken about like Tokyo and like your whole Olympic run in terms of, yeah, you covering the Olympics, but maybe another podcast we can talk about that. Like, yeah, maybe the end of the year we'll do like a roundup of the year and that will be one of the main like talking points. So yeah, look forward to having you on again. And again, like, yeah, guys, make sure you keep an eye on all of the Tamani's work. So it's just theguardian.com, obviously tennis, anything tennis related. I know you'll be all over the US Open. So yeah, we look forward to reading all your content, man. And yeah, just hopefully get some rest as well in between, because we know it's tough with the whole time zone difference. It's going to be a crazy 2 weeks, but that's why we love it. So
that's why I love it, guys.
We appreciate you all for listening and take care until next time.